Hey yo, this is Keely.
And this is Kinley.
And you're listening to Spook Street.
I forgot her name.
Oh, jeez. So, we've had a little bit of a hiatus. We've been gone for a little bit. But between, you know, Thanksgiving and I was just off out of the country on a missions trip. So, between those two, it's been kind of busy, wouldn't you say?
Mm-hmm.
But we're back. Episode 3. We are going to touch on urban legends, spooky stories, that kind of stuff. And I guess I'll go first. So the first urban legend that I'm gonna hit y'all with is the legend of Candyman. So, the movie Candyman tells the story of a grad student who's researching urban legends, the legend of Candyman in particular. This is a movie that terrified me as a kid. But anyways, so the legend states that Candyman was a slave that was murdered and comes back to exact revenge on those who call his name. So you would stand in front of a mirror, all Bloody Mary-like, and call out his name 5 times. Turn out the light, and then he would appear behind you and kill you with a hook that he has for a hand. Like the hash-slinging slasher.
Did he have a hook?
No, he had a spatula.
I was about to say, that's so
That's funny. My favorite episode. That and the Krusty Krab pizza.
The slash-slinging slasher.
I said that wrong. Anyways. within the scene of the movie starring Tony Todd, Helen, the main character, is standing in front of her medicine cabinet, and, you know, she opens it and she looks in it and looks behind her, and then all dramatic like, a hooked arm, hooked hand comes bursting through the medicine cabinet to get her. So mostly for the most part, these aren't true events, but there is some truth to this legend. In 1987, within a Chicago housing project, 52-year-old Ruthie Mae McCoy was murdered by an intruder. She heard a noise and called 911 as she realized that there was someone breaking into her house. 2 of her neighbors called the police that night, reporting that they had heard gunshots. So, the police arrived, and they knock on the door, but no one answered. So, what do?
They go in, duh.
No, they leave.
That's stupid. You gotta go in.
I mean, you would think. She called saying that there was intruders.
When was it?
87.
That explains it.
But yeah, so you would think she calls saying that there's intruders, and then her 2 of her neighbors call saying that they heard gunshots, but so they knocked, no one answered, they left. 2 days later, they come back to check on her and find her dead, and find that the point of entry into her house was behind her bathroom mirror. The Abbott Homes, where she lived, wasn't the best and most maintained buildings. It was in the projects of Chicago, and break-ins through the medicine cabinets and behind bathroom mirrors were not in common in 1986 and 87. So, I would say that the lesson of the story, let's not chant any creepy names of any dead people, and make sure that your mirrors are tightly secured to the walls.
That's really weird.
The break-ins through the...
I mean, I wouldn't want my medicine cabinet to open up to a wall anyways.
Well...
I understand it was, like, for maintenance and stuff like that, but, like...
Well, I don't even know if it was, like, for maintenance or anything, because I know, like, back in the day, they used to leave some of them open so that they could, you know, maintain the pipes and stuff when, like...
That's weird.
By the sounds of, like, this place, it was either that or they just didn't take the time to patch up the wall. So the wall led into the other apartment.
Oh.
So, like, you take the mirrors off both sides and you can see into the apartments.
That's... Dude, you could have peeping Toms that way.
Could you imagine, like... You're at home, and...
Next thing you know, someone's peeping at you in the shower.
Right.
Or taking a poop.
Or you hear a noise, and you go in your bathroom, and the mirror's just off. And there's just a hole there.
Yeah, I'd poop myself.
Yeah. All right, you want to take it away?
I'm doing the black dog, which is also, yeah, the black dog. They're, like, a spiritual or, like, demonic entity, mainly found in, like, folklore and stuff like that.
So when we say black dogs, are we talking, like, supernatural, some hellhounds kind of stuff?
They are often said to be associated with devils or... ghosts or hellhounds.
Okay.
So, one of the three, yes. Their appearances are, and like, if you see them, an omen's gonna happen, like, death or sickness or something like that. Like, something bad's gonna happen when you see them. The black dogs are supposed to be larger than your normal size dog. So, like, yeah, you got your big Great Dane and stuff, but, like, it's supposed to be bigger than that.
Wow.
With glowing eyes. Has large glowing eyes. Sorry. Large. It's uncertain where, like, the origins of this story came from, but they think it's back in, like, the Greek and stuff like that. And
so way back.
Yeah, way back. Because these are associated with the guardians of the underworld. So Hades,
like Hercules,
and stuff like that.
Where
yeah.
they have the three headed
Yeah. That's the
black dog.
They're called the, I don't remember what they're called. But yeah, like that. But it only has one head, not three. And the association was that dogs were scavengers beforehand.
Mm-hmm. Right, like wolves, coyotes.
Yeah, that was their habit. So that's why they thought, while the black dog survived the beliefs of, like, having to do with the underworld, because, like, oh my gosh. If a dog was to, like, lose its home, run away, something like that, the way it'll get food is scavenging for it. So that's the one way. That's why they associate it together. They believe that the black dog is sinister or malevolent. Yeah, that word. and are said to do direct harm. So, like, you come in contact with it, you're getting hurt on
it
the
spot. It
hurts
you.
Yeah. Many of these people believe that they may also serve as a familiar spirit as witches or warlocks. They also associate with the crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
Or ancient, like, pathways, like... And that way back in the day. That's the only way I can describe it. There. Also, this is also related to... It's like an Irish story about a black dog. Supposed that these are in two different places. So this is for like what one place knows and then the other one.
So different places have different names and different.
But it's the same exact thing. Yeah. Okay.
Kind of like how word of mouth and stories are different in different places.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, I gotcha.
That's my story.
It's your story. The next story that I am going to talk with y'all about is the body under the bed.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay. So, I'm going to tell you, like, the urban legend, and then I'm going to go deeper into some other things. So, the body under the bed, the story is that a man and woman went to Vegas for their honeymoon and checked into a suite at a hotel. They got to their room and they both smelled an awful smell. And so the husband called down to the front desk and asked for a manager, and he said that the room smelled horrible and would like another suite, but the manager apologized and said that there was a convention in town and all the rooms in that hotel was booked up. So he said that he would send him off for lunch on the hotel as, you know, apologies, whatever. And while they were gone, they would send up a maid to clean the room and try to rid it of the
stench.
Yeah. So, after their lunch, they came back to the room, and they walk in, and they both smell the awful smell, the awful stench. They called again to see if he could get another room, and because it still smelled terrible. And he said that he would try to find a suite at another hotel and called all the hotels, but because of the convention, every single one of them were booked up. So he said that they could try to clean it again. And the couple were like, okay, we want to go sightseeing and stuff like that anyway, so we'll give you 2 hours. We'll go out, we'll... you know, shop, we'll see the sights, and then we'll come back. So 2 hours later, the couple comes back after the housekeeping went to the room and cleaned. They scrubbed it from top to bottom, tried to find the smell, where the smell came from, couldn't find it. They washed all the carpets, they washed the sheets, they washed, they changed the curtains, they used the strongest smelling cleaning products that they could. And the couple still smells the stench. At this point, the husband is furious. And he's determined to find the smell himself. So he's tearing through this hotel room. And he's, you know, looking in cabinets. He's all this stuff. And then he pulls the top mattress off and finds the body of a dead woman decomposing there.
That's disgusting.
That is disgusting. Honestly,
I think it'd be cool, though.
If you didn't sleep on the bed.
I mean, they didn't sleep on the bed.
But still. Anyways, this happens. This is... like, based on reality.
Mm-hmm.
Truth. And this happens a lot more than what you would think. And thinking about it,
it's kind of disgusting.
It makes me really uncomfortable. I mean, think about it. You and I went to Louisville and stayed in a motel a couple months ago. Could you imagine going in there?
finding a dead body, bro. You'd have to tell that that's on there. Like, you lay down, you're feeling something lumpy under the bed.
You would think.
You'd feel it.
You would think so, but I don't know. So, one instance of this was January of 2010 when Lakeith Moody murdered his girlfriend and stuffed her body under a motel bed at the Budget Lodge in Memphis, Tennessee. She was reported missing on January 27th, 2010. Kinley, guess how long it took them to discover her body?
Like 5 months.
No.
How long?
6 weeks after she vanished.
Oh, that was so off.
You were way off, like...
I don't know. That's the first thing. That's the first thing that popped in my head.
So they had went in looking for where the awful stench was coming from and found her under the mattress. Within those 6 weeks, the motel room had been rented out five times.
And they didn't know. They had to have smelled that.
I mean, they may have smelled it, but...
Because without the preservatives and stuff like that, the body starts...
You said preservatives like it's jam or something.
I mean, they gotta preserve the body somehow. They do that in burials.
Salt on it and, no. You know.
They put the fluid, the embalming fluid. I know. And it helps the stench go away. Without that, it just takes a couple days before the body starts decomposing and it starts stinking. So they went 6 weeks without finding her. Five people rented it out. It starts stinking within those.
Oh, absolutely.
It starts stinking the first week after it.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. And you think, within a couple hours, like, rigor mortis sets in, and then all the organs do the nasty, icky stuff, and...
And then the body starts to expand because all the gas, and then it explodes. Ow.
And you would think that you would see, like, that'd the be ooze cool to watch of too. The...
Somebody's body explode.
Real freaks here. You would think that you would see, like, the ooze of the blood and stuff, too. Another incident was reported in Texas when Jamie Wingwood stuffed the body of his girlfriend, San Juana Macias, maybe? I don't know if I'm saying that right, but... In the bed frame of their rented motel room. So... A word to the wise. Whenever you rent rooms, make sure that...
Check under the bed.
When you're checking for bed bugs, you make sure that you aren't sleeping with anything or anyone else.
Oh, you're done?
Go on to your next one.
Okay. I'm doing the Choking Doberman.
Oh, I like this story.
Which is actually based off true events.
Really?
Yeah. So, I'll give you, like, a little back story of it. So, the Choking Doberman is an urban legend that originated in the United States. Okay, let me just scroll down.
Sorry if y'all can hear the creaking. We're, like, chilling on my bed while we're recording this because we don't have a real podcast room or whatever set up. Because we broke. But yeah.
Okay. So the legend is a woman goes out one evening with her friends. Upon her return, she is greeted by her pet Doberman, who is choking in the hallway. Alarmed, she takes the dog to the vet, which she was good friends with the vet. Mm-hmm. So, like, she just called her up and she was like, yeah, come in. The vet said that he had to perform a surgery and he would call her with the news. Well, when the woman arrived home, the vet calls her and tells her to leave the house at once. And she was upset. She was like, I just got home. Like,
right.
I don't want to leave. And she goes, your dog was choking on 3 human fingers. the woman called the police, who searched the house and discovered a burglar hiding in the closet, passed out from blood loss caused by his three fingers being bitten off. So the dog was choking on the three fingers that he bit off this burglar.
I couldn't imagine.
Says June 24th and June 30th, News Times, page 5, gagging dog story baffles police. So this is exactly what was said. When the woman returned home, the phone was ringing off the hook. She answered it and was surprised to discover it was the vet. Even more surprised when the message was, get out of the house immediately, go to the neighbors, and call the police. It seemed that when the vet performed the operation, she figured out that it was the fingers of the person.
I didn't realize that was, like, a real story.
I've heard the story, but, like, yeah, I didn't, it happened in Vegas.
So, we're gonna hit my last story, which is the story of Charlie No Face, or the Green Man.
Never heard of this.
You haven't heard of this?
No.
So, this urban legend takes place in western Pennsylvania, where tales of the Green Man, or Charlie No Face, a disfigured man whose skin had a green glow or tint, were spread around. They would tell stories of a monster roaming the streets at night, and some of the stories varied. So, some would say that there was an accident while he was working at a power plant, or he was struck by lightning, or electrocuted by a downed power line. Other stories would say that he was working in a factory and was splashed in the face with acid. But depending on who is telling the story, you may hear that he died instantly, and that the sightings of him were actually his apparition, his ghost.
That doesn't even make sense. Splashing the face with acid wouldn't turn his face green.
I don't know, Kinley.
I'm just saying.
I don't know. I mean, there's lots of acids out there. I don't know.
It would burn his face off, no matter what kind of acid.
Others say that he survived and lived in a boarded up and seemingly abandoned house in town. Is there any truth to this urban legend, you may ask?
Probably not.
You're supposed to say, is there any truth to this urban legend?
Is there any truth to this urban legend?
Thank you. Absolutely. 8-year-old Raymond Robinson in 1919 was walking with his sisters and friends, and he was trying to get a closer look at a bird's nest when he accidentally touched a wire to an old trolley. The line was still active, although the trolley hadn't been used in years. Like, it was an abandoned trolley.
Uh-huh.
But the wires were still active. I don't know why they would still be, but anyways, he was severely electrocuted, losing his nose, lips, ears, and eyes. His arms were also affected, yeah. Oh. Kinley's making this, like, dumbfounded face. But his arms were also affected, completely losing one hand.
How old was he?
He was 8. So his family, he lived. His family tried to keep him hidden from the outside world, but couldn't keep Raymond in all his life. They converted their garage into, like, an apartment for him, mm-hmm. and whatever. He was pretty ostracized, like, he was isolated, and, you know, they wouldn't, like, eat dinner with him or anything. But when he got older, he wanted to get out of the house. He didn't want to be cooped up in pretty much that jail. Like, it was a jail. So he would begin to walk the streets at night. And he always walked at night. And in attempts to stay out of the public eye. He didn't want to scare anybody. But, of course, he was seen. And people found out where he lived and would often sit outside his house waiting to catch sight of him. And then that's where the stories stemmed from, you know. Charlie No Face and the Green Man is going to get you, blah, blah, blah. I don't know where they came up with the name Charlie No Face. His name is Raymond.
Or the Green Man, because he obviously wasn't green.
They said something about there being a green tint to his skin.
The licked hand.
Ooh. This one's a common one. This is a popular story.
It's known sometimes as the doggy lick, or humans can lick too. And it's a popular urban legend among teenagers.
I think they did an episode about this, kind of, or similar, on Criminal Minds.
There's several versions of this. There's been several versions of this, and some have been found in the early as February 1982. As stories, and then it, like, the title is Bedtime for Sam. Mm. By B.D. Martin. Okay. So, the story. A young girl was home alone for the first time with only her dog for company. Listening to the news, she hears of a killer who is loose in her neighborhood. Terrified, she locks all the doors and windows, but she forgot about the basement window, and it was left unlocked. She goes to bed, thinking her dog is in her room, and letting her sleep under her bed. So, like, the dog sleeps under her bed, which I never let my dog sleep under the bed.
Layla's been sleeping under my bed.
But she wakes up in the middle of the night to a dripping sound coming from the bathroom. The dripping noise frightens her. She's too scared to get out of bed to find out what it is. To reassure her, she reaches her hand down towards the floor for her dog. And she put her hand down there, and the dog reassured her by licking her hand. The next morning, she wakes up and goes to the bathroom for a drink of water, only to find her dead.
Mutilated?
Yeah, that word. Mutilated dog hanging from the shower with his blood slowly dripping onto her tiles. And on the shower wall is written in her dog's blood the words, humans can lick too.
Mm.
Other story variations featured a nearsighted old woman rather than a young woman. The fate of the dog also varies. From the dog simply being hanged to being skinned to being disemboweled or otherwise mutilated. The message is sometimes written on the floor, on the bedroom mirror, rather than just like the bathroom wall. Some versions include the parents returning and discovering that the killer is hiding somewhere else in the house, frequently in the basement, the girl's closet, or under her bed.
Yep, so that was our... Yeah, sorry if it was a little...
boring.
Or sucky. We're trying. We're doing our best. Kinley and I are gonna look into what we're gonna record next for the next episode, episode 4.
And while you guys wait for our next episode, you can follow us on Facebook at
Spook Street Podcast,
on Twitter at
Spook Street Pod,
on Instagram
at Spook Street Podcast,
or you can send us an email at
spookstreetpodcast@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you guys.
Send us an ideas, anything
that you want to hear. If you just want to chat, you can, you know, send us a message on Instagram. You can send us an email, DM on Twitter, whatever. And we would greatly appreciate if you would rate and review. Tell us, you know, what you like, what we could do better. Yeah. So we will see you next time.
See you on the flip side.
Bye.